Welcome to the 2021-22 season of the Friends of McGill Hockey Podcast. We're excited about the upcoming season with a new coach, a new coaching staff, a new team moniker, and many new players in the red and white as they return from the forced hiatus during the lockdown COVID year. We've also added new members to our podcast team. While we will continue with our Captains Meeting podcast hosted by myself, Ken Tyler, with our long line of McGill captains sharing their experiences at McGill and beyond, Quinn Ceridiak will keep us updated with the most recent developments on the ice, and Justin Ducharme will be bringing you the adventures of our most recent graduates. Today, we have a very special guest. We have the honor and privilege of having successfully brought back Mr. David Urquhart to our hockey program. Dave has already been a legacy in this program as a player, as a student, and also as an assistant coach, not to mention the adventures he's had as a professional hockey coach and professional player. With no further ado, let's jump right in and meet Mr. David Urquhart. Well, welcome, Dave Urquhart, our new coach, head coach of the McGill Redbirds. You will be the first official McGill Redbird head coach. You've had quite a history in McGill, so why don't you start there and tell us a little bit about your journey.
As Zook says, this is my third stint at McGill. My first one was 2004 to 2008. I did an undergrad in business commerce with the focus on entrepreneurship and finance. Came back as assistant coach from 2014 to 2018. Did a master's degree in sports psychology. In between, spent some time playing professionally in North America and in Italy. And the last 3 years, I was in San Diego in the American League, coaching with the Gulls as an assistant. And it's great to be back. And like you said, we have the new name, the Redbirds. And we talked to the guys early this year about writing our own story. We get to write a new story, but we have the legacy that we carry on. So we have the traditions, we have the values, we have all the stuff that's been built up over the years, but now we get to write our own story. But going back to, you know, how I ended up at McGill, there's a good story about that. And I was playing junior B at 19 years old in Welland, and I'm from Thorold, Ontario. I reached out to a few schools and McGill was one of them. I reached out to Marty, and Marty was passing through Niagara for league meetings. He said, okay, let's meet somewhere for lunch. So I met him in Burlington, Ontario. And he said, you pick the place. And I picked Eastside Mario's. And for anybody who's part of that team in that era knows that every road trip, the team would stop at Eastside Mario's post-game, pre-game, probably both on some occasions. So I think when Marty heard I picked that spot for our meeting, or that was my recruiting trip going to Eastside Mario's. And so that was a good start for me. But I came in as probably the eighth defenseman. And another story there would be first weekend arriving at McGill, you meet some of the best people that become your best friends for the next 40 years of your life.
Yeah. Who are some of those guys?
Some of those guys, like the guys I was closest with, my roommates, Stephen Pierce, Chris Churchill Smith, Doug Orr, amongst a few, Teddy Kiras, guys that have reconnected with as I've come back to school, Luke Medill, Sean Schuchuk. I got to name the whole team. You know, it's all the guys there. It was, but those are guys, some of the guys you meet right away. But one of the things that struck me when I arrived at McGill, coming from a small town in Thorold, was I'm in the dressing room and I look around and there's doctors and lawyers in the room. And getting, you know, up to that point, the only time I'd seen a doctor was my family doctor. And if we didn't see any lawyers, that meant we were doing a good job growing up where we were. So it was pretty inspiring, to say the least. You know, played with a few guys who ended up in law, Sam Bloom, Eric Letalian, Charles Gauthier, just to name a couple. So, but again, it's one of those things, like arriving at McGill, you get into that situation. And I remember it was the first week of camp, we were playing a game against Lakehead, and they could only take something like 24 players. And I was the odd man out because they didn't have enough plane tickets. And I remember sitting in my room at McConnell residence, looking over the city and thinking, well, what option do you have here? You either get working really hard, make yourself part of this team, or you don't know anybody in the city. You don't know anybody at this school. So I just thought, okay, dug in, and you end up with some of the best friends of your life and some of the best experiences in those 4 years.
What made the difference for you? How did you get from eighth to starter to captain?
We had a great coach, Marty Raymond. He's a big part of that development. So him, and then also just the environment. So the environment there, you know, you're surrounded by mentors and leaders and guys you look up to. Guys, you know, Chad Blundy was a big influence on me on that first year, just his habits. And you look at his approach to his daily process at the rink. And you think, okay, well, you learned something. So you're learning something from people. You're learning something in school as well. It was just every day, you know, being challenged and pushing yourself and meeting those challenges, and then you're leveling up for the next one.
So you came from a junior B experience and you made a team that was basically full of junior major players. There's a significant difference in the history in the background from your playing days. And you ultimately got to the captaincy. How did you turn from the replacement player to the leader?
If you're looking at it, just the daily process, just keep adding. And it's something that we talk about with the guys here often, is just it's what are your habits? What's your process, and where do you want to go with it? And in the summer training and training with the guys at McGill, I was on the ice with players who were better than me, and I watched them and thought, hey, what are you doing? And start copying some of their good habits. And not only on the ice, but also in the classroom. So watching guys like Jean-Michel Filiatro and Demers, like Filiatro and Demers were two guys in management that we just, you know, we did group projects with, and they had outstanding study habits. So those are things. So you learn from guys like that. And then on the ice, it's the same thing. You look around and, you know what, you learn from the guys around you, and then add those habits and benchmark yourself to where you want to be. So if you want to play pro, then do you have pro habits? And if you don't, which ones can you add to your daily process right now? That was kind of get 2% better every game. That was the goal. So if you get 2% better every game over the course of 4 years, you get pretty good.
Micro habits. Absolutely. Is it the same now for the student athlete, as you describe picking up those small habits and whatnot? I'd be delighted to hear back in my era if it would have been the same. What's also of interest is that you're sharing student projects together prior to coming up to the rink to practice. Is it still the same for a student athlete at McGill as it was for you?
I think back to all the coaches that have been at McGill, and I think one of the commonalities is creating that environment where it's an environment within the team where the team's helping each other out. And I would imagine it dated back to when you were coaching, and that's where we're lucky to be in this McGill community as one, but then we also have this hockey community that we can learn and grow from. So when you look at what it was then and saying, okay, well, the guys helping each other out, everyone's pulling in the same direction. I think all of that stuff is the same. And the things that are common as well are things like the arena. Not a whole lot has changed since they made the renovation to add the alumni lounge. The school itself, the campus, all that stuff's the same. Though I think that the places where you would go on a Saturday night are the same places, but probably just different names. So everything's pretty similar. I mean, how things have changed over the years in terms of social media and the team unity and the values of the team, all that has stayed the same with some little minor adjustments to bring things up to date.
We'll get into that. But first, I'd like to ask you how you view the relationship between academics and athletics.
At McGill, they go hand in hand. You want to be successful in life. I think about, again, going back to Marty Raymond as my coach when I played and a mentor to me, is he had it figured out. He had a huge focus on developing the player as a whole, and developing the player as a student athlete. And that meant on the ice success, athletic success, but also academic success and developing that person. And an example of that I can think of is in our last year, 2007, 2008, the team had been building over the years and we were on the cusp. We had made it to the national championship in 2006, but it had still been 46 years since McGill had won Queen's Cup. We had the championship habits and we were very close. And Marty had a great way of developing leadership throughout the group from top to bottom and the mentorship within the team. Those were all important things. And he had given the leadership group that year a chapter from a book called Good to Great. And he gave us the chapter on level 5 leadership. And it talked about how, you know, level 4 leaders, they could be great and bring companies to great levels. But when they leave, they fall apart. But the level five leader is able to bring the company to success and carry on after they leave. So the message to us was clear to say, okay, well, we want to be successful. We want to win. We want to bring this team to the next level. But also when we leave, we want to leave it in a better place. And that kind of sums up really why I coach is that saying we want to develop championship habits. We want to be competitive on the ice, but also developing the person as a whole. So taking that a few years later, so one of the guys on that team in 2008, that was a team that was the first time we actually won the Queen's Cup in many years. And so that was one of the hurdles that the team has gotten over, one of the first hurdles that we got over, and we had won another four since then. That step, that team, you know, we took that to heart, that level five leadership concept, and spent a lot of time mentoring the young players on that team. 5 years later, one of the players that was on that team, Evan Bossen, he went on to score the winning goal in overtime of the 2012 national championship. First time McGill had won national championship. So as part of that, as alumni, being a part of a team that wins, we were all part of it, alumni, all McGill alumni throughout anywhere. But even furthermore, we felt a special connection because, you know, we felt a part of that team because, you know, we had mentored some of those players. So mm-hmm. you look at that concept and you say, that's really why I coach is to develop people both athletically and academically and to be good people and to develop them. And because you know that hockey is a small portion of your life. As you get on, the skills that you learn in that team environment that they're going to make you successful in other domains.
Absolutely. And you're flowing nicely with the questions that I wanted to ask you, which is why you wanted to become a coach. You're explaining that quite clearly. I'm hearing you say that winning is obviously important and a benchmark, but it seems to be a byproduct of the kind of coaching you like to do and you want to do.
Yeah. And I would just add on to that. Like, if you look at what you want to do are those two things, develop that holistic development of the players on the team, of the student athletes. There has to be that component of well as that compete, that competition. Like, you got to want to be the best to be in that environment. And that's the goal, is to create that environment where you're coming in, you're fully engaged. It's competitive. You're getting better. And then you want that competition. You want to be measured against the best. So if it's us and we're playing in a game, well, we want to play the best. We want to play the best competition because we want to see where we're at. And if we're not there yet, okay, well, let's get there. What do we got to do? And that's one of the fun challenges coming into this year, because you really don't know what your competition is, because these teams haven't played in 18 months. They haven't played in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then from the student athlete's perspective, they haven't played either. So it's kind of like, well, as a coach, you get to come in with a clean slate, get to start writing this story, this new McGill Redbird story that has so much history, so much tradition to build from, see where we're at. So that's going to be a fun part. We got our first preseason game October 13th against Queens. And that's really going to be the first time that we get to see, okay, well, when you run into something, what happens? What do you do when you face a little bit of adversity? How are we going to react? So I'm looking forward to seeing how we react, how we face adversity, how we react to it.
Okay, excellent. That takes me to the question I wanted to ask you. What's the biggest challenge? You've already mentioned one of them. What's the biggest challenge that you foresee in this particular job? One of them is to overcome the inertia of not having played as a team in 18 months. What, along with that, is the biggest challenge that you foresee in this job?
One of the challenges is the, and you can look at it as a challenge or an opportunity, is the big recruiting class or the new class of players who haven't been able to wear the jersey yet, who haven't played a game in the red and white. So that we have 21 players that haven't worn the red and white yet in a game. And that's 2 years of recruiting classes because the yeah. previous season was they didn't play. So that's, you look at that as a challenge to say, okay, the bigger challenge is going to be putting a little bit more responsibility on the veteran players to provide some mentorship and to show them the McGill way. But on the other hand, it's an opportunity to say, as a new coach coming in, to say, hey, this is time that we can establish our values, establish our environment of the way that we want it, and maybe start some new traditions ourselves to say, this is who we are right now. And so these guys get the opportunity to write that story. And while still carrying on the traditions and all the things that make our program unique and successful.
Let's talk to those. What is that? You mentioned it. What is the McGill way? What values go into that? And what are those traditions? Start with the what is the McGill way?
For us, we talk about being a champion today. And if you want to be a champion at the end of the season or at the end of two seasons or at the end of 3 years, that means what are you doing today to get yourself there? So that's a process of getting better. So it's your habits. So think about four things. Four values are getting better every day. Next one is work ethic, that relentlessness that we've developed over the years. Compete. So compete on a daily basis, compete in drills and practice, compete and win your one-on-one battles, little things like that, backtracking hard, blocking shots, that compete, all those little details. So that's the third one. And then the fourth one would be enjoy it. Enjoy the journey. You're here for a short time, 4 years, 3 years for some guys, 5 years for others. And it's a small portion of your life. You really got to enjoy it. Try to bring that to the rink every day as well.
How do you help them enjoy it?
Just naturally, I think they're going to enjoy it anyways, but just providing some of that environment, you know, in practices, just making sure that there's some of those compete drills that are fun, right? Those small area games, including a portion of the practice, and just kind of understanding the days where you can push and then some days where it's like, all right, well, we're in this for a reason. And it's not just work. It's not just school, not just that. We're here to enjoy it and not forget about why we're playing hockey.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of traditions are you upholding?
Our connection to alumni is a big part of it. It's just one of the many things and a lot of these traditions that have been established revolve around things like the alumni weekend in the fall, the Friends McGill hockey homecoming, the banquet in after the season, and traditions that follow that banquet. And then within the team, like on the daily basis, there's things that we do in the dressing room after wins to celebrate some of the values that we have that we'll continue to keep going.
Very nice. Can you share some of those traditions
in terms of in the room?
Yeah.
The
listeners would love to hear.
Well, it's celebrating the things the McGill values on the ice and what the players are doing. So within a game, one of the values is getting to the hard areas, getting to the blue paint. So we have something that's handed out after games for that. That's something that's carried that was started before I got there, and it's, you know, it's important, right? Getting to those hard areas of the ice, you have that mentality, getting to the blue paint, and that's something that's going to carry on.
Okay, good stuff. Getting to the blue paint means
blue paint, the crease. Got to get there. That's where you score goals.
The pain zones.
Yeah.
Now, you as a coach, with this challenge going forward, you've mentioned championships. When's the last time that they've won a, well, we know the national championship was 2012. When was the last time they got a Queen's Cup?
2018.
Okay, so that's sort of the benchmark, right?
Lucky enough, we have a couple of players that were part of that team, Sam Tremblay and Keanu Yamamoto. And those guys, they've been through it. They know what it takes. It's good to have a lot of guys who have been a part of that. But even having one or two guys who know what it's like, who know to play on that big stage at the national championship, that experience goes a long way to help the other guys through it. And early on in the season, especially when it's so far away, that time of year, guys who have been there know that you don't win those games or you don't get to those games unless you're putting in the work now. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it. And actually, on that point, I got a good story too that I shared with the team in the summer. In the summer, we had kind of our first Zoom meeting, talked about kind of what we're talking about now, talking about values and what's our team going to look like, and really what it looks like on the ice is it's the outcome of what we talk about, our values, right? It's that our values and the vision of what we want the team to be. I told them the story about my grandfather and his garden. So my grandfather's Italian, moved here from Italy, brought the family here. He lived across the street from a high school. And when I was playing at McGill, I went to train one morning early before work. I was working at a butcher shop at the time. And it was 7 a.m. and I was out there doing some sprints in the field. And I look over and I see my nono, my grandfather, Italian grandfather, in the garden. And I thought about that garden. I thought about him being up there 7 a.m. as the sun's rising. It's in the middle of summer and he's weeding and watering the garden. I thought about at the end of the year in the fall, we always have family meals around the table and it would just be things from his garden. And the harvest at the end of the year, he would have everything. It would be full of tomatoes, peppers, all the stuff you can imagine. And I think about the team and I think about habits And it really has, it's a great metaphor for being a successful team, because to have a successful garden, it doesn't come overnight. You can't just sit there in October and September and say, well, I'll give you some tomatoes. They're not going to be there unless you put in the work for 12 months leading up to that. So it starts in the winter, before the winter, making sure that the soil is correct, in the spring, fertilizing the soil, planting the seeds early on. And that's, think about the seeds as your habits, you're weeding and watering. There's always things that get in the way. There's the weeds that pop up, and those weeds that pop up are distractions in your life. And how do you get rid of those? And you have to have a plan. How do you get rid of those? So that process of continually going in, taking those out, and keep watering the things that are bringing you success. And then at the end, after all of that, then you can start harvesting the fruits of that labor. And that's really a hockey season. And that's a career. That's what you want to do over the course of 12 months, over the course of 4 years, over the course of however long you want to be dedicated to a sport or profession. It's that continuous process, and then restart it. And then the other part that's great is, after the harvest, you say, what was good, what was bad, and what can we continue to improve? And you look at that, and that's the kind of area that we were at in the summer before the start of training camp. And now we're kind of, the plants are starting to grow, and we get to see how that's going, prune them a little bit and help them grow in the right direction.
So your approach is that of a gardener.
Yeah.
You're planting the seeds, you're watering the soil, you're nurturing the young sprouts coming out, and you're helping them grow, and you're giving them the sunlight that they need to have to reach out for the sky.
Yep.
What makes you ready right now to be able to take on this challenge as being head coach? It's your first time head coach, I do believe, and head coach of a university team. What makes you ready to take on this challenge now, personally?
Life experience and being part of the program for so long, especially for McGill. And it's a great opportunity. I look forward to it. I'm thrilled to be back. And it's every day you wake up and you're just, like when you're in this situation, you're just fully engaged. So it's really exciting to be back. But in terms of what makes me ready specifically, it's all the little experiences leading up to here as a player at McGill, as assistant coach at McGill, taking some experience from pro hockey as a player in different leagues, different parts of the world. And same thing as a coach, different leagues. And I did have one head coaching opportunity as well as for the Serbian national team.
There you go.
And that was, that was a small scale, a 3-week tournament, the world championships. And that really gives you a taste for putting your vision together, clarifying it to the team, and then having them implement, the playbook and that sort of stuff. So that was kind of on a short term tournament, smaller scale, different type of challenge. That was a great experience, and seeing the outcome there and seeing the result of implementing kind of the McGill way in another place was great. And the big thing that stands out in terms of helping a coach be ready is mentorship. And I've been lucky to have great mentors as coaches in my life, especially Marty as my coach when I played at McGill, and continues to be a mentor and has always been a mentor for me as a coach. Kelly Knows is outstanding to learn from as his assistant, as a guy who really understands the game and really understands the nuances that help a team succeed. And there's a reason why he had so much success and won Queen's Cups and won the national championship. And I think about, if you watch one of our practices, there's parts of him there in every practice and parts of the coaches that have influenced me in those practices. And Dallas Eakins is another one. He was great. He brought me into San Diego and gave me that opportunity to coach pro. And also Sylvain Lefebvre, who is an outstanding mentor to me as an assistant, working with him in San Diego. There's parts of those guys in every approach. You get these experiences and they become part of you, and rely on those experiences going forward. And there's an interesting variety there of guys from professional, guys from university, and guys that have both, like Marty, both those experiences. And I'm really lucky to have guys like that around that you can lean to in times when things are going tough and you need somebody to talk to. Those guys are there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not just that they're there, it's that you are reaching out to them and developing and maintaining a good relationship with them. Right now, it's preseason and everybody is a champion, but there's often dark days during the year when your team is struggling. What do you do then? as a coach? Do you have a go-to plan?
It comes back to the values, and it has to be that, because it's not going to be success. What your definition of success is, it can't be wins and losses, because it's not always an indicator of whether or not you're doing the right things. Team might just not be at the place at that time. So it's not wins and losses. It's not the main indicator. While we talk about having championship habits, it's not always gauged on those wins and losses. Sometimes it's a good barometer to see where you're at in terms of, at some point, that's where you need to be. And that's where we want to be. But at the start, you're gauging success on different levels. And that's each person reaching their potential for what they can be and pushing themselves to higher levels. And for each person, each individual, that's going to be different. So when times are tough, it's always good to just get back in the moment, reset, and think about why you're doing it. And a lot of that comes to the values as well. So if things aren't going well, you can start checking off those boxes. Okay, are we competing? All right, are we doing all those little things that are involved in competing? Are we stopping at the net? Are we backtracking hard? Are we blocking shots? All of that. And you can start going through that and say, okay, well, we need to fix this. Okay, get that going. Are we enjoying it? Okay, well, we aren't enjoying it. Okay, well, let's find a way to enjoy it. And then things will start going from there. So that's, just the little things and you stick to it. Sometimes it's harder during those times, but those are the times when it means the most to stick to those values.
Absolutely. And you're leading right towards what I like to ask, because there's going to be a lot of coaches listening to this, and they want to get some of that nitty gritty. Can you describe what a typical practice looks like for your team?
Right now, there's a lot of pace. One of the things coming off 18 months of layoff for these players is the conditioning level wasn't necessarily where it needed to be. And that's understandable. And we didn't really want to ramp it up too fast right away to ensure that there wasn't any injuries. Over the last couple of weeks, we've raised the bar, different themes. So 2 weeks ago, our theme was raise the bar, because that was our third week of practice. And the first 2 weeks we were working on the conditioning. So that third week was raise the bar in terms of execution of what we wanted to see on the ice. So little things like hitting the net, stopping at the net, making passes on the tape and making sure those are happening. So that was a big focus the last week. Then this week it's compete. So you'd see a lot of compete if you're watching our practices this week. And that shows up in a couple of different ways. One-on-one battle drills. We created three teams within the team. We had a draft on Tuesday morning and let the guys pick teams and have games throughout the week and have games to just different types of games, different competitions on and off the ice. Last night we had a mental performance consultant come in, and before she spoke, we did a plank challenge with the winner from the winning team getting points for their team. So little things like that to keep it kind of fresh, because we have basically a whole month of practices before we've got to play games. So you want to stay creative, keep the guys engaged. And if you watch practice, first part of practice is going to be a lot of pace, then getting into some technical stuff, systems teaching, and lots of pace. And that's, I think that's one of the hallmarks of being a McGill player. You get to be on the ice, and there's always been great practice. Nobzy ran great practices. Marty ran great practices. And I got to experience that from a player and coach's perspective. And I'm sure Liam ran great practices as well when he was there, although I didn't get to see it. So it's kind of one of the things about being at McGill is that, you get challenged at school, and you get challenged when you come up to the rink. And I don't think you'd want it any other way.
How do you keep yourself motivated?
It's living by those values. It really came up, like that concept of being a champion today came up when I was playing at McGill, and I thought about the history of the program and thinking that, at that point there had been 13 Queen's Cups, and it's been a long time. And I thought, pictured that concept of being a champion and what it meant and what it meant like today, like how do you do it? And I thought the only way you can do it is focusing on today. And if you start thinking about the past or the future, and again, this is a great thing that Wayne Halliwell would say is, if you're in the past or in the future, you can't be in the moment. And so thinking about being in that moment, what gets you there? So that would be a big thing, is motivating, is that continuing on that legacy and carrying it on and really building this team to carrying on what this team has been built up to from previous coaches, from the guys that were here before us, the players that were here before us, and carrying on that legacy and building it to an elite program or the elite program in the country. And if you think about university sport, it should be the place that it's a no-brainer. If we're going out to recruit a player and we say, hey, we're coming from McGill, they think best team, best school, best environment, why wouldn't you go there, right? Yeah. So that's what we're looking to create and looking to bring in some things from pro sport that will add to that and that we have kind of an advantage of as well. So being at McGill, advantage with these connections to the kinesiology department, and we have it right there, right beside the rink. And our associate coach Pat DeLillehood is a great example of that, coming in from the Montreal mm-hmm. Canadiens, having a great understanding of sports science, and start bringing some of those things in. Bring some of the things we did in San Diego in, aside from you know, the daily practice stuff, the hockey related stuff. Now if you benchmark against the top organizations in the world, if you look at professional soccer in Europe, you know, they're doing a lot of creative things and innovative things in the sports science domain, and say, okay, well, what's that new wave? You know, in the early 2000s, strength and conditioning, moving a little bit towards after that, the mental side of the game, mental performance, and still kind of developing that. And then also on the sports science in terms of load management and that sort of thing. That's kind of the trends in sport. And being on top of that, being one, not just being able to provide that, but also we have an environment in the university environment where we can be leaders in those fields. So it's being innovative and staying on those things and understanding where the benchmarks are and learning from them and looking at winning organizations and what they're doing to succeed. That's all exciting stuff. Like that's what keeps you going. That's where you want to be.
So let me ask you this one. Where does the program still need to grow?
The biggest thing is the facilities right now.
What's missing?
The great renovation on the alumni lounge would have been, I'm not sure exactly, late 90s or early 2000s, before I was there as a player. And the lounge is great. But in terms of what, you know, coming, being away and then coming back and saying, okay, well, if I had a wish list, it would be an arena that can host nationals. And if
8,000.
It doesn't even have to be that big, but arena that could host the national championships. It's something that we should be able to host. You know, we've been a team that's been there as much as any other team in the country, but haven't hosted. And one of the things that's holding us back is the arena and the facilities within it. So that would be the next step. When we travel to the NCAA schools, you look at some of the facilities there and you think, hey, this is awesome. And some of them are better than pro facilities, but that would be one of the things that would say, okay, room for improvement. Let's go there. And then some of the other stuff, like minor things, we're looking at making improvements to the dressing room in the next year, 1 to 3 years.
Like what?
Again, Liam had done a great job of doing some research on flooring and stalls and that sort of stuff, and kind of building from that and carrying that on and looking to bring that a little further. So it would be dressing room and kind of utilizing whatever space we have as much as we can. So for people who haven't been around in a while, it's, you know, there's a little weight room that's next to the coach's office, that's next to the equipment room, that's next to the dressing room. Over the years, it's expanded in terms of, we've got a bunch of spin bikes that are now up in the concourse and in the loge that we use that space. There's a little bit of space used up there for workouts. It's, you know, if you're looking at having a top ranked facility, when you want to bring people in, and though we're doing a great job with what we have, that's an area that we could definitely improve on.
May need to talk to the kinesiology faculty and see if they can't put some sports science labs up there. That would get some expansion.
Not a bad idea.
Okay. What are your expectations with respect to performance this year? What would make this a great year? What would make this a good year? What would make this a bad year?
I got to say, it's too early to tell until we play a game and see what we have and see how we stack up. We'll measure it on that, those values, going back to those. So are we getting better every day? Do we have a relentless work ethic? Are we competing? Are we enjoying it? That's what I'm looking at right now. And then mm-hmm. As we get through this preseason, it's going to be, okay, sit down, reassess and say, okay, what kind of team do we have here? We've seen some of the competition. what's a fair assessment of where we can go with this team.
How comparable has your recruiting been over the last 2 years to the other competitors you have in the league?
Hard to say as well. I haven't seen a lot of those team rosters either, because they're not necessarily all released. So that part's hard to tell as well. But I think Liam and Mike did a great job of bringing guys in from all over. We have a great representation from across Canada and the US. So we still have that core of guys from Quebec, but also, you know, there's guys from Newfoundland, BC, Winnipeg, you know, we have guys from all across, which is great. Cause that mirrors the student body at McGill as well.
Exactly. Yep. That's excellent to hear that that's coming from across the country. And what kind of events are coming up that people can get involved in?
First one, starting off with the community stuff. The guys are involved in the local McGill community. One example is they're doing a fundraiser by volunteering at the rugby game this weekend, and all the proceeds are coming back to the team. So that's, they've done a couple things to raise funds for the program, that including the 4-on-4 tournament that was hosted in August, and they did a great job. They raised about $3,000 in that tournament, and then also should raise some a decent chunk of change this weekend. That money goes back to the program. Then next is the other community events that we have going on. Is on November 6th, we have our homecoming, the Friends of McGill Hockey homecoming game against Ottawa. And that's going to feature an alumni game at 4:00. Anybody who's interested in joining that can reach out to Patrick Lillehood at McGill.ca, and he's helping organize that, or reach me and we'll put you on the list for that game. Following that, there's a family skate from 4:50 to 5:30, and then we have some other activities and things. If you haven't gotten an email from Friends of McGill Hockey, then
reach out
to the team, reach out to me, to Pat, to Ken Moran, to Ken Tyler. And we're in the process of updating a list. And it was a process that was spearheaded by Ken Moran last summer, FMH 2.0. For those of you who had the banquet, he did a presentation on it. Him and among some other guys have done a great job of bringing the alumni database up to date, a new website, an apparel line there was some great support. A lot of people bought the hats
and a great new logo.
Yeah. That was created by Dave Gord, helped a lot with that. So there's a lot happening with the alumni. The alumni league has changed as well.
What's happening there?
Yeah. So new format this year, longer ice time and just two teams instead of the old format with four teams. So now it's anybody can sign up. Dan Gubiani's running that. It's in utilizing the website as well to help keep track of things there. So a lot of changes, you know, coming out of the COVID restrictions. Now we have, you know, we had some time to reevaluate. And that was one of the ideas where the birth of this podcast came from as well, is to say, you know, that when we have reached out to a lot of alumni and said, okay, what are you guys missing? What do you need? And it's, one of the things was we want to connect and we want to communicate. The guys who have been involved have done a great job, and that will continue to grow. And on that note as well, John St. Pierre, longtime assistant coach, is also evolving his role to communicate more with the alumni. So everyone should expect a call from him and look forward to that, because he'll be reaching out to alumni in areas when we're playing games. If we're playing a game in Trois-Rivières, he's going to reach out to alumni there. Ottawa, same thing. And as we go this year, we're only playing games against Ottawa, Concordia, Trois-Rivières, and Carleton. So as we go and we're back in Toronto and playing those games, he'll be reaching out to alumni in those areas and to gather at these games and build events around our games.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
I think just one more note on that alumni weekend, the meet and greet after the game. It's great. It'll be great to see people. There is a restriction on tickets. So maximum capacity right now is at 250 in the arena. So the tickets can be bought online before. So that's important to get those. In closing, I think it's just a thrill to be back, thrilled to reconnect. And if old teammates or alumni and friends have listened to this, don't hesitate to reach out. I look forward to hearing from you. It's so nice to be back in the community and in the Friends of McGill Hockey, and look forward to continuing on the traditions that have been built over the years and continue the pushing this team in the right direction.
Well, we're all very excited and absolutely delighted to have you back in. You were on your way to an illustrious professional career, as far as I could see. And to have you come back to the McGill environment is our privilege and opportunity. So we're looking forward to supporting you as best we can going forward. I'm speaking on behalf of our alumni group, as if I dare do. And I'm looking forward to hearing really good things, not just about those wins, which of course we're looking for, but also about the stories of our young men going through the program and carving out careers, which are almost, they're absolutely amazing. Like some of the things that you hear our alumni doing in their own careers, let alone hockey. We have way more people getting involved in hockey from our program than we had way back when I was involved in the program. And being very successful at it. And it's just great to see. But it's more than that. We're having many more people reaching high levels in their chosen profession, chosen business careers that I do believe go back to what you've really focused on here. And that's the core values that they learn about life through being a part of the McGill Redbird hockey program. So thanks so much, Dave. It's been a pleasure to listen to you and to get your insights of how the situation looks today. And we wish you a great kickoff season.
Thanks, Ken. It's great to be on the show.
What an impressive young man. One hears the intensity, the focus, and the drive in every sentence. Our hockey program is in good hands. David, we wish you great success. And we want you to keep your elbows up and your stick on the ice.